Are you sick and tired and lost, wandering through the internet wilderness, looking and searching for a real way to make money from anywhere? You've probably been bitten and drained of your time, money, and resources, only to get trapped in the next new shiny object syndrome. Well, some girlfriends have found a way out of the wilderness and into partnering with a well-established billion-dollar company that allows them the flexibility of growing an extra paycheck per month or even a six-figure business. Most savvy girlfriends would get curious and a little bit excited. Hey, if this is you and you want to know more, go to ProfitEnjoy.com. You may find a home in ProfitEnjoy.com, or you can decide not to go and continue roaming in that internet wilderness.
Hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hello, Christine.
How was your week?
My week was okay. It was a good week. It was a good week.
I had little issues sleeping this week.
You did? I'm sorry.
No, I don't know. Who knows if it's about getting spring here, you know, just the idea that we're going to, you know, it's like after this whole winter, now there's like stuff to do outside. And I was just like, I can't wait to get going on it.
And you know? Have big plans for this year.
I did. And I still do.
Yeah, you have big plans.
It's only still April.
Yeah.
But I think on Wednesday night, I woke up around 2 o'clock.
Okay.
2:15. And couldn't go back to sleep after I peed.
Right.
And so I decided to channel surf.
Okay.
And I landed on a channel that I didn't normally land on. I landed on a channel called Planet Earth. Now, this wasn't about, you know, NASA, where you see the, which is pretty interesting to me as well.
We'll talk about that.
You said that.
Yeah.
And, but this one was, well, it was interesting because what they were talking about were these bower birds. And I know that we've talked about them at some point several months ago. But to actually see them in action, it was mesmerizing. I haven't been able to get it out of my mind, really.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me more.
Well, this bower bird is the only animal besides besides humans that actually create scenes. Like, you know how, you know, like if you're going to go to dinner at someone's house, you know, you'll set the table, you'll put candles on it, you'll place the wine in a bucket. I mean, a flower or whatever.
Right.
So we're scene setters.
I love how you place the wine in the bucket. I just love how you set your scene. You place the wine in the bucket.
Well, you know, a wine bucket. Not just an Ace bucket bucket.
Honestly, those are really trending right now. Those buckets.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they're trending. So you're right on track. You're trending, girlfriend.
But what I woke up to see was this one male bower bird had built this nest, and they are very ornate, and they're not just like round and flat. They are they're constructed like an actual stage. And what's really interesting is that there's several entrances and exits, because the male bower bird allows the female to, it's kind of a rule that she won't enter unless she can exit any way she wants. She's never trapped.
Aw, I love that.
Inside this nest. Okay, that's number one.
Okay, they're very respectful.
Very respectful.
Good.
And number two, you're pretty much only as good as the nest that you build.
Oh,
and
okay.
So the more ornate, the better. And by ornate, I mean it colorful.
Okay.
So, for example, this particular nest had bubble gum wrappers, or actually just gum wrappers, but okay. cellophane.
Ooh, and, shiny objects.
A couple of not matching earrings,
okay.
but colorful earrings.
You're right, because when do you ever lose two earrings?
Correct.
You know.
Some yarn.
Okay.
And some ribbon.
Okay.
And this particular bird had found a puffy heart, like a red heart, and somehow it was puffy, like pillow stuffings in it. And but it was small enough that he could pick it up in its beak and move it from side to side. And he also had some boa feathers, like imagine a boa around your neck, not the snake,
right?
But you know the boa.
Got it.
And they had some pink ones and some yellow ones. Okay, so what I saw when I was watching this was a female landed inside the nest.
Okay,
and so he starts ta-da the show. And at first, he kind of struts on by, you know, just like, and she's not impressed. Mm. So then he goes away, and he comes back with a piece of yarn, and he goes in front of the stage, and he puts the yarn right in front of her.
Oh, you know, okay, yeah.
And she's still not good enough,
right?
So he leaves again. And he comes back with the puffy heart, but he doesn't present it to her at this point.
Yeah.
He just kind of puts it right outside. So like, you know,
right.
This is interesting, right? But you can't have it yet. But, and so still she didn't have anything, you know, to do with him. And it was so cute because the next thing he does is he comes back, he leaves for a little bit, and he comes back with these pink boas on his head.
Aww.
And it's kind of like he has them on the side, like he's French. And so he's strutting. It looks like he's doing like a the Rolling Stones dude, Mick Jagger. It looks like he's going back and forth with his, you know, with these.
So they're dancing like Jagger.
Yeah,
moves like Jagger.
Exactly. And these things are kind of flying in the air. He's going fast. He gets a little movement from her.
Okay.
And so
she's starting to get a little press warming up.
She does. She, yeah.
Okay.
And so at that point, he's going, I'm leaving the feathers on or whatever the blow on. And then he pulls back the big red heart. And he goes, gets it, and he puts it inside the stage and presents it to her.
Okay.
And so at that point, Planet Earth went to commercial.
Oh, no. Oh,
I don't know. I don't know if it gets R-rated at that point.
Like,
did the power bird get lucky? But it was so darling. And they scientists are really, really studying this bird because it's the only bird next to humans that literally set stages or scenes, as they call them.
Yeah.
And when it came back, when we came back from commercial, the bowerbird was gone. And then we went to Kuala Lumpur to study these macaw monkeys.
Okay.
And I don't know if they're sacred, but I think that they kind of live inside this temple. Like it's a square.
Right.
And so it's temple, so maybe sacred. But every morning, these hundreds, I mean, maybe even thousands, come out of the temple, and they're high up because the temple's high up, and they go down into what is a marketplace. Literally, it's hustling and bustling with people selling their wares and bikes and all this stuff. And they just come down en masse and grab stuff. They'll go. I saw this one guy had a bike, and he had a backpack on the back of his bike. The monkeys lifted the backpack and went inside the backpack, pulled a banana out. They'll take bags of chips.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. They're little thieves.
And it's interesting because the people act as if it's
just life.
It's just life. I mean, the monkeys are coming. It seems to me that we would have found a way to stop this.
I mean, I wonder if like it's like with our deer. I mean, we have, you know, we don't have that many. I mean, if we had that many deer coming into our community and then like just like taking over the streets and we never leave,
yeah.
I think we'd do something.
Right.
I think at some point There is.
That's what I was wondering. And see, this is the thing. They just take, it happens for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then they leave.
So somehow there's this agreement. Like, you've caused us just enough hassle that we can deal with it.
Right.
But if you were there all day long, we couldn't deal.
And they just go and take whatever they want.
And no one says anything. No,
well, some of them go, get out of here.
There's no cops coming by.
No.
You're arrested, and you're arrested, and you're arrested.
Yeah, because if you stop, they're kind of...
Snarky?
Yeah.
They're kind of mean.
They've known to put their hands on you.
Yeah.
So then they leave after they've got their booty and their goods,
uh-huh.
and they go back up. And I think from what I remember, they take another little break time a couple hours later and come down again.
Of course they do.
And then that's...
Siesta.
And then that's it, you know? I'm thinking they must be called sacred monkeys because even people in Kuala Lumpur would have figured out a way to knock this stuff off.
Right.
If it was not sacred.
Or if it was like a tourist thing. Like the only reason why people come to this
to be assaulted by these.
Or it's just to see the monkeys come and assault everyone.
Right.
And so it's the price of doing business, in some sense. It's their marketing campaign. Got a little bit
come out see of the yeah, macaw see the, monkeys.
Yeah, come see the crazy ass monkeys.
Yeah.
Take all our stuff.
Take all your stuff. If you're wearing a backpack or a little fanny pack, they have no problem going right in it. And if they have to struggle with it, look out.
Yeah.
And so then we went to commercial again.
Yeah.
And the next scene was we were going to learn about hyenas.
Okay.
And at this point, we saw a pack of hyenas, mm-hmm. and we were looking at them. And I kind of didn't like how they looked. They kind of looked fierce.
Uh-huh.
And then we saw this little sick pig. And I went, oh, no, this better not be what I think is going to be happening.
Right.
And then I decided to turn it off.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I am not going to, same thing that I do when we have those doggy commercials.
Yeah, it's turn them off.
When they're cold. They're
acting. They're dog acting.
We hope so.
We hope so. That's what we hope. That's the story I'm telling because really we know our reality is just a story we tell ourselves.
We call those the Annies the animals.
This morning I woke up and I was watching pandas. Something, the reason why I was near Animal Planet this morning just by chance was because I think I went to bed with Ghost Adventures. And
Portals to Hell. Which was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yes. And it's like, Portal to Hell. And
Pandas.
So I think I somehow woke up and there was a panda on. And there are three baby pandas. And I don't know what I was seeing initially, but it was a baby panda. And it was a veterinarian. Looked like going really hard on the panda's Netherlands. And you're like, what is this guy doing? And the panda just like laughing hysterically. Like it would almost look like the veterinarian was pleasuring the panda, the baby panda. And the panda was just like, ha! Like just like on his back.
Oh.
And then it would had like excretion and like liquid underneath him, I think. And I didn't see what it was about. I'm guessing it was urine because then it said, this has to be done after every meal.
What?
And I'm like, what? So for a while,
a vet has pandas, to come out. And
they have to have a vet.
But Julie, pandas don't have meals. Don't they eat at will? Or
I don't know. But these are in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know.
I heard that, we all think that pandas are just darling. And just I heard that
these
they have a little.
These are pretty darn cute.
They are. But I heard they have a little bit of a temperament issue.
Yes, they
and
do.
And I remember seeing, too, oh, my gosh. This was in a couple of years ago in a magazine, though, that you had to dress as a panda to even get in the cage with them.
Well,
so was this guy dressed like a panda when he was pleasuring
the baby not the baby ones. Oh. No, they were little tiny baby ones, and they were so cute, and they were so happy. They looked so happy, but it's all in editing. Come on. But then we see a mother. It's like your Snapchat. We're literally seeing a minute or two of your day.
Yeah.
And when I do my Snapchat, I'm happy.
You're always happy and sweet.
I'm also like, raise the camera slightly so I don't have the double chin. Hey, everybody, life's so good.
Yeah, life is great. But look then, at my Snapchat.
Just like with you, and you had to turn the TV off.
Yeah.
You know, we see a panda, mama panda in distress. She's about ready to give birth. And 24 hours later, she's still trying to give birth.
Oh, no.
She's struggling.
Oh, no.
And for whatever reason, they say it's too late to help her. It'd be too dangerous to help her. I'm like,
oh,
well,
no. And does she die?
I turn the channel. I have no idea.
You have to turn the channel.
I don't care.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
I mean, in the whole scheme of things, we all die. 100 years from now, we're all dead anyway.
Yeah.
Except for babies. They'll live to be 150 or 200. I don't know.
With AI.
Yeah, with AI. And so yada, yada, yada. I don't know. But I want to go back to while you were talking,
mm-hmm.
I was listening to you intently while you were talking about the bowerbirds. I really was. But I also quickly Googled just to see their nest. I wanted to see how pretty their nests were.
Yes.
And this one little bird's nest, I loved it because it had all matching blue things
that
led up to the bird,
right, exactly.
the opening to the nest,
right.
Like almost as an airplane landing on a runway, feel like
right.
like flashing blue,
yeah.
And I clicked on it and it got me to Pinterest and I read a little bit more about it, but at first sight I did notice, like, oh wow, they've got these big blue items at the front. And then they got smaller and smaller as they got closer to the hole.
Right.
I'm like, I just, in the back, my brain noticed that.
Yes.
I thought it was just random.
Right.
You know,
nothing's random about the bowerbird.
No. And so this daily, I don't know, news or something like that. I think it's English newspaper and on Pinterest. I just, you know, it said, these birds are like Michelangelo. They have a way of using perspective to, you know, to get the viewer's eyes a different emotion.
Wow.
I'm like, really? Tell me more.
Yeah.
And because I didn't understand.
Can you
why
imagine, like,
this...
if you were going on a date and you were going into the guy's house and it was kind of it looked like a landing strip.
Yes.
And as you approached it, the lights got
And somewhere you're going, this guy's going through a lot of trouble. Am I impressed or is this desperate?
Or am I scared?
Well, and see, you're like Michelangelo because I'm going to tell you. Okay, so anyway, so the birds, they're saying that these bowerbirds use the big ones, the big forks at the beginning of their landing strip.
Right.
And to the little blue bottle cap at the end.
Right.
So that as you get closer and the bird is in the middle near the smaller ones, the bird looks so big.
Oh.
Okay. Now, they said Michelangelo's David, statue of David.
Yes.
His hands and head arms were exceptionally long because
and big because
Michelangelo knew that you would be seeing it from the bottom.
Mm.
And if you looked up, only from this one perspective, would everything look appropriate.
Right.
And if you're from the standing this one one place and you're looking up like you should be, you go, oh, wow, everything looks perfect.
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 But if from the other perspective, you'd see that his hands are bigger, his head is bigger, his arms are longer.
Yes. And they never mention the fact that, you know, the statue of David, he is nude. And I don't know if that has been made bigger either. I'm saying it has. Not really. It wasn't that impressive, to be honest with you.
You saw it? Not in real life.
No, I didn't see it in real life.
You've seen it. You see pictures of it.
Of course I have. I just saw a picture of it today. 2 minutes ago. It was fine.
What was your perspective? Was it from the bottom?
I thought it was normal. I didn't think. No, it was straight on.
Oh, just straight on.
Straight on. And then I go, oh, from straight on, his hands and arms do look oddly
big.
Huge.
Yeah.
And so from below, I'm thinking his genitalia would look oddly small.
Could I ask you, is he circumcised?
I didn't get that
is
close.
David,
I did not have my glasses on, my cheaters, and I did not expand my screen.
Is David circumcised?
I don't think
he is. Can you Google that?
I'm not going to Google. I'm going to guess no. I'm going to guess go. Is that okay?
Did Leonardo circumcise David?
Is that
Michelangelo. Yeah, okay.
I think Leonardo did. He was pissed. He's like, oh,
oops.
He's getting too much fanfare. And so forth.
I love this idea about
but
about perspective.
You, yes, but you are like that. Do you remember back in the day we did a Christmas movie when we were young?
Yes.
And this was when we didn't have phones, people.
Oh, my God. It must have been like in the 70s?
The 70s, early
80s. 80s, yeah.
And you made Gregory.
Yes.
So what we did was this. Gregory was doing a commercial.
Yeah.
About
in our Christmas movie.
Yes, in our Christmas movie. And he's, I don't know, 10 to 12, something like that. Yeah. Maybe 14, right around there.
I think he's young.
Yeah, like yeah. 10 or 12. Yeah. But enough to remember lines yes. and be agreeable.
But he was always that way, though.
Yeah, that's true. He was always a smart. He was a smart one.
He was always the actor.
He was the actor, always a smart one, always reading Stephen King at the age of 5. You're like, here, Greg, read this. Here's Stephen King. Oh, okay, Mom. Okay,
sure, I can do that.
I can do that. So anyway, so the commercial was about this. You know, people would say, hey, this cream here will make your wiener get bigger.
It was called Mr. Big Cream.
Mr. Big Cream. Yeah, I'm not sure if he said use the word. I think it was appropriate for TV, the
right,
commercial.
Right.
This is Mr. Big Cream. So you can put it anywhere on your body to make it larger. And then the only problem is, and then he pretended to put his hand up, mm-hmm. but instead I put my hand up and I right behind the camera. It just your hand gets bigger. And I'm like, oh, Bob, genius,
I still have that director's genius.
Yes, you do.
It's all about perspective.
It's all about perspective. You're such a Michelangelo at heart. Or you're a Bauerberg, one or the other. And you like.
I think I'm more a Bauerberg.
Are you more a Bauerberg?
I don't know. When that little bird came and danced in front of the stage, it looked just like Mick Jagger with the boa feathers or whatever.
No, you're not that. You're definitely the female one yes. going, show me what you got.
Yeah.
Show me what you got.
Because where's the blue bottle cap?
Yeah, come on. Where's your feather? Where's the heart? Where's the feather? I'm judging you here. And I think of all the, I mean, because we have consciousness and we think differently than animals. We're definitely different thinkers and animals, I guess.
Really? Okay. Yes. All right. Are you mansplaining to me right now?
I am mansplaining because we're all so stupid. Because the only thing that we need to do to get a woman to have sex with him is basically get her drunk. You know? You know what I'm saying? Not now.
As a society, we're kind of like that.
Well,
yeah.
You know, the birds, they like have to work hard. Yeah. Like, oh, please pick me. Please pick me.
Yeah.
Look at all I'm building for you.
Yeah.
Which
is how it should be.
I think that we should try a little bit harder to have our seed pass on.
Yes.
Just a little bit. But then
the women should be a little bit like, you know, this guy is a true engineer. Look at this. Look at what he built for me.
Yes.
Look at what how ornate he, of course, if he is dancing and the feathers, then you go, oh, well.
You're like, I like a little bad boy. Can you show me a little bad boy?
Yeah. You know, he comes on a motorcycle.
But did Michelangelo, was he married or have kids?
Darn, I do not know that.
Okay.
I do not know that.
I don't either. I don't think he did because remember that movie Idiocracy?
I don't remember it.
I think his last name is Judd who wrote it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me, people.
Mr. Judd.
But anyway, it was about this idea that 300 years from now, we have a lot of AI taking care of everything, but we're all stupid. And because the only people who have kids are the ones who can get drunk, basically, and conceive. And the ones who are smart, like they're planning everything out.
Yeah.
They wait way too long.
Yeah.
They don't have as many.
Oh, my God. Could that be happening?
I mean, no, I think now.
Are we getting stupider and stupider?
I don't know. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that we aren't. But I'm just saying that there's a part of us. And I think the new generation, they're getting smarter.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are getting smarter. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I don't know. I think because maybe they meet people differently.
Right.
They have sex differently.
Right.
Like in the old days, you had to actually go to a party.
Right. Meet somebody.
Actually meet someone. And it did usually involve, you know, drinking or a little social lubrication of some sort.
Yeah, of some sort.
But now you just swipe and you just go.
You see their profile.
You see a profile. You see if you like them.
And you Google them. I'm not even sure if they give you real names on sites. I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
We really don't know. But then you go and you meet them. And if you're just truthful, you go, I just don't think we have a connection.
Right.
Are you think? It's all a different thing. Like you told me yesterday, you said, you know, if I wasn't sort of already going with someone,
right,
I don't know if I would know how to meet someone at my age. There's just no avenues to do that.
Oh.
You said there's no way to meet someone organically.
Right. And in some ways, I think that's okay, because if I'm not mistaken, the new generation feels that if you meet someone organically for dating, you're stalking each other.
That's
pressure.
Yeah.
It's too much. Yeah. It's, you know, hashtag me too kind of stuff.
Like, if you meet someone just like, you're in the line at a checkout.
Yeah.
And he's cute and you're cute.
There's a little chemistry.
And you've got chemistry.
And he asks for your number and you're like,
and you go, you're stalking me.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
Can I say something?
Yeah. I get what you're going for here.
So when I went to Montreal, on the way home, I had two planes, and they were from Air Canada. And I was reading the magazine, and what I realized, because these were nicer planes, I guess. You know, you could actually, it did feel a little more elevated than the one I took there.
The American planes?
Because I think these
are the Canadian planes better than the American planes?
Well, these were, because they actually have TV and a Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Well, the American plane that I took was just maybe like a very small. It was scary plane, you know, like it was loud and scary. And we got there, we got down. I'm like, okay, this is awesome. I'm so happy. But in there were two, not just one, two ads for matchmakers. Like, hey, we know you're busy. Mm-hmm. We know you know, you're successful. You're busy. You want to meet someone just like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We'll help you for that.
Wow.
You know, and here are these. And, you know, it's like, whoa. And these are, you know, one was a mother-daughter team, but very, very high class polish.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to send you anybody. We're not going to send you just any bird.
No.
We're sending you the Mick Jagger of birds.
Yeah, the Mick Jagger of birds is coming. Yeah. And so I'm just like, I wonder if, like, how would I have to be? Because this is not just some, here's a picture of me, swipe left or swipe right.
No.
This is the whole package.
Yeah. What if you, how would you, like, say, you go to the mother-daughter team and you go, could you find me someone? And they go, hon, we're sorry, hon, but you know, we just don't deal with your type.
Well, you know, hon, don't take this wrong, but you're really good for, like, you know, Dixon. You know, come on, you're really good for Dixon.
We want you to know that for Dixon, you could thrive.
Yeah.
And you know,
she's not good match.
You're so good on podcasts.
Yeah.
You'd be good on podcasts, but really in real media.
Stay
on podcasts.
Stay
in Dixon.
Yeah.
You could thrive there.
That
don't take this as any kind of criticism.
Not criticism.
No.
Yeah. And then you might write him back going, well, what do I have to do to take advantage of your stuff? Who do I have to become? And like, maybe you just hear crickets. We count this. At this point, you're now stalking me.
Exactly.
No. One more email. Yeah. I'm counting. I'm deleting your account and putting it on my blacklist.
Exactly. If I just send you one more email, I'm charging you for this information.
Exactly. Exactly. So you get it. You understand what I'm talking about. So
I get it.
So, but, you know, I think about, like, if you did go and you paid them, you took money out of your 401k because it probably cost a fortune.
Yeah. And you'd have extra money.
They said, okay, first of all, honey, we got to stage your own comeback.
Yeah.
You're like, gotta do it all.
For you mean?
For me, yeah. We got to get you ready.
Huh?
We got to get you ready all over the place.
Because your hair looks great for Dixon.
Yeah, your hair looks great. Love the color for Dixon, Illinois. I don't wear pajamas.
Your smile is white enough for Dixon Illinois.
Doug was saying that he had
those shoes.
For Dixon.
Dior. They're good for Dixon Illinois.
These are $100 shoes. Excuse me. I'm sorry. $65.
And
they were on sale for 20% off. So $45 shoes. These are $45 shoes.
They're fine for Dixon Illinois.
You're high classing it for Dixon Illinois. Like, give me a break. Please. Help me out here.
You're saying something about Doug.
Oh, yeah. Talking about teeth, by the way, he said a customer of his came in and he didn't know what was going on. And she goes, yeah, I don't have any teeth right now because I'm going to have
Clear Choice?
No.
Implants?
Implants. And
which is, I think, Clear Choice.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, okay. No, on Clear Choice, I thought was the fake braces.
No.
Oh, okay. Got it. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. What does that mean exactly? He goes, well, she has to let her gums heal first for 6 months.
What?
Before you get the new implants.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I go, no.
No.
And she said, she told him, and it's 10 grand. Mm-hmm. And Doug's like, I'm thinking about it. I'm mm-hmm. truly thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I said, you know what? Maybe you should, because you really complain a lot about your teeth and that. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you probably 20 grand to fix them individually. Mm-hmm. So, I said, but you can't have anything in your mouth for 6 months. Mm. I'm not sure if that's worth it to me.
For you, exactly. Yeah. To have to look at a guy that has no teeth in his mouth
please.
For 6 months.
I go, can't you wear dentures or anything? Uh-huh. And she wasn't. Supposedly, you can't wear anything for 6 months.
Yeah. Now, see, that is to me like a macaw problem.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
That's an issue.
That would stop you. Even after the rest of your life, you had this beautiful smile.
Right.
6 months of just gumming shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, God. I don't mean to cross.
And at some point during that 6 months, I have to talk myself into not finding him so unattractive.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be worth it. His teeth are going to look so great when it's all said and done. Yeah. In the back of my mind, I hear my mother going, he's going to have horse teeth. They're not going to look right. You know, who's he doing this for anyway? This is all crazy talk. Like, oh, all right, I get it.
I understand getting your teeth done at almost any age because from what I remember, it's important to your actual overall physical health.
Yes.
To chew things properly.
Right.
Like, you know, and if you can't because your teeth are bad, you're not getting the proper digestive enzymes into yes. your stomach.
Right.
And it does cause over time more biological, physical issues.
Right.
Other than what I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's important to chew.
It's important to chew
and also, chew a certain amount.
You know there's what I mean? Yeah, 100%.
Like actually get they yeah. don't just swallow things like halfway yeah, whole.
I know.
Over time it's
yeah. No,
not
I,
good.
But I wonder why that's not in the commercial though. Like, hey, oh by the way, you'll be gumming things for 6 months.
Because they say it takes just one day to
just
do it.
It takes one day to do yeah. it. It takes one day to pull your teeth out.
No, it takes one day to put them in.
Oh, that's right. They say it just takes one day to put them in.
Yeah.
That's true. It does take one day to put them in. But, you know, it's like...
See, that's to me is false advertising.
It's sort of like
it's true, but it's not totally
no,
true.
It's like when you put things in a crock pot.
Yeah.
It takes only 5 minutes to prepare your dinner.
Yeah.
It takes 13 hours to cook it. What? Just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Throw everything in.
I threw everything in.
5 minutes
and
later...
turn the switch.
It's done.
Yeah.
Okay, but you ain't eating until tomorrow. Go butt. See, it's false. It's not telling the whole story.
It's not telling. You know, and that's happens to a lot of things.
Did I tell you my tooth story?
Your tooth story?
I don't know if I told everybody on the radio my tooth story.
That you lost a tooth?
Yes. But that wasn't the funny part. I think I mentioned that before. Before Canada, I lost a tooth. And I'm like, oh, no one can see it. But What's the coincidence of this happening
yeah.
at that moment?
Like, well, also, when you were getting ready to go to Canada, you had got a fever blister.
Yeah.
And you haven't had one, a breakout in like
years. Yeah. And so.
She just has the herpes syndrome 1.
I don't know what it is. It's just the cold sore. We used to just call them cold sores. 65% of people have this virus, even more. And sometimes and I don't know why.
Yeah, Jill, we know.
Okay. So anyway, I'm telling you, because the funniest thing is I thought no one can see. You can't tell I have a missing tooth in my bottom. Because the cap fell off.
Right.
My tooth didn't fall out.
Right.
My cap fell off.
Right.
And
did you save it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to be good or not. But so anyway, I thought there's just no way anybody's going to find out.
Yeah.
But since this was a voice manifestation class,
right.
There's one part where we have to adjust our soft palate to make the energy flow better
uh-huh.
and to manifest better. And to do this, we all had to look in the mirror and have our instructor, Francine, look at our mouth. What are the odds that this is happening to me? And then I was just, I laughed inside.
Sure.
I see jokes everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know, this law of attraction thing.
And here she said, oh, Julie, you have a good mouth for Dixon, Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, your teeth look great for Dixon.
For Dixon.
No, I'm like, okay, thank you, people. Thank you very much. But what are the chances?
What are the odds?
And that's why sometimes I just don't even feel like stating anything.
No.
But because I see jokes everywhere,
yes,
I'm okay.
Right.
Like, oh, this I can talk about. It's funny.
Yeah. Well, we ordered hats for our audience.
Yes.
And they can go get them at lifewiththegirlfriends.com.
Yes.
And it was interesting because we wanted to have on the hat lifewiththegirlfriends.com and our tagline.
Right.
And we thought about it for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And we went, well, of course our tagline is I see jokes, people.
Yeah, I see jokes,
because
people.
That's who we are.
Right.
That's what we've been forever and ever. And then one person reminded us.
Yes.
You were at a funeral.
Yes.
And said, oh, I listened to last week's podcast and it was great. And he went, oh, thank you. And he went, no,
it was great. I'm like,
oh my God, that's our tagline.
That's our tagline.
It was great. So you could now buy a hat.
Yes.
From us.
Yes.
That says lifeofthegirlfriends.
Yes.
.com. It was great.
And support the podcast.
We appreciate it.
It's a cute hat, too.
It's a darling hat.
Yeah.
It's a darling hat. Go there, lifeofthegirlfriends.com, and get a hat.
Exactly.
Support us.
Support us. Support us, please.
Support us, please, in Dixon, Illinois.
So, and they're darling. Like I said, they're darling hats. And they're soft.
Please,
valuable.
Mr.
Please,
you
Mr.
We had to say that in a British accent, in kind of a Les Mis.
Yes.
Don't take the bread. What is it? What's the line?
You have to pay for the bread.
You must pay for the bread. You must pay for the hat.
Yes.
You must pay for the hat in Dixon, Illinois.
Exactly. Okay. So, yeah. So I just want to give you a props then, like saying perspective. The hat's perspective looked really good.
Thank you. And when Greg did the hand for the Mr. Big Cream.
Yes.
You think that I understand perspective.
Well, I do. And, you know, here's the thing. Because of your crazy personality.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about, and because you are, I don't want to call you an amateur filmmaker. You're a little bit better than that.
Are you going to talk about our pinky swear?
Yes, I'm going to talk about pinky swearing.
Oh, my God.
And we pinky swore. Yeah, but I was really hoping that someone would pull out. And luckily, Normano did.
Normano, but that doesn't mean it can't go on.
Yeah.
First of all, you offered me a handshake, and I took the handshake.
But then I said, "I'm going to pay." In my heart of hearts, I thought, "I'm going to pay for this."
And then I said, "Julie, pinky swear."
Yes.
And that to me was that you couldn't break
on
this.
The life of your mother, pinky swear.
Yes.
I'm like, ah. Oh,
so
okay.
Let's talk a little bit about the hump.
So
the hump festival.
You got an email from Dan Savage.
Yes. He and I are good buddies.
Yeah. Directly. Because I guess
he said I'm pretty cool for Dixon, Illinois.
Yeah. You know, listen, Christine, you know, you're the only one that gets our email from Dixon, Illinois.
I get that. I get that, Dan.
So here we are, kiddo.
Yeah.
We want to remind you that our Hump Festival is coming to an area near you.
Yes.
2 hours away in Madison.
Yes.
And there was one in Chicago, but we missed that. That was early.
He said, Christine, you missed it, but you can still get in Madison, Wisconsin.
And it's actually happening this weekend, the Hump Festival in Madison.
Yes. Yes.
And
But
next year, get your film, get your...
No, we can still do Minneapolis.
I don't know if that, Mom, that's not true, I don't think.
You don't think it's true?
No, you can't just turn it in and then be ready for next week.
Okay, all right.
I don't think so.
All right.
Okay. But they're asking for entries for their next Hump Festival.
By September 13th.
Yes. And so, Mom, in her ways.
Because I am an amateur movie maker.
And anytime she has the opportunity to make an amateur film.
Right. And this is just a 5-minute film.
Right. She's like, we're doing it. Done.
I have an iPhone.
Yes.
Or an iPhone.
I have Movie Maker.
Excuse
me. Julie has an iPhone. Julie has a Movie Maker. Julie can edit this. And you're like, can we think about doing something for Hump Film Festival? I'm like, let me just think about it. Because what it is that it's kind of like amateur porn.
It is. It's not kind of.
It is.
It is.
But you could, it's basically.
It's basically your perspective of
your
amateur porn.
Perspective.
Yes.
And so you
and so we see jokes, people.
We were taking a golf cart ride.
Right.
And this light bulb went out in my head.
Yes.
And I said, what if, it's all perspective anyway.
Right.
We were driving. It would be like a minute film. Just
right.
a minute film.
Just a minute.
And we would have our tops low enough that you wouldn't see our boobies, but right. you'd have see our cleavage.
Right.
And you would just film it, and it would film like we were topless.
Right.
You would perceive us as being topless.
Exactly. Driving in a golf cart.
And then maybe the action was happening behind us.
That's what I thought would be awesome.
And we'd have glasses on, like sunglasses.
We have a hat and big sunglasses.
So no one could really recognize us.
Right.
And maybe the hats would say "Life with the Girlfriends" on it. I don't know. Because they are cute hats. I don't know.
I would put it on. And so, I'd wear it.
Yeah. And then I go, because there would have to be more action than just us driving
right.
with Life with the Girlfriend hats.
Yeah.
And then
you did suggest that you were going to put your finger in my ear.
I was like, I put my finger in your ear, and you would go, ooh, that feels so good.
I was going to develop that.
Yeah. And I, you know, we're going to, like, what are some kink stuff that we could add? No nudity, because I will be damned if that's going to happen. But the illusion, the perspective that there could be some possibility.
Yes.
So then you come up with ideas like maybe Norm, who will wear a mask,
yes.
will just streak behind.
Yes, as if he's chasing the golf cart.
Well, that's your idea. Yeah. You want to become a rapist.
I want him to,
the word rapist.
I did say that. I want him to wear a mask that had like an elephant's trunk
on it. You've all seen those masks that look very, you know. Like
eyes wide shut.
Eyes wide shut kind of thing.
Eyes wide shut mask.
Yeah, like my eyes are wide shut. No one sees anything.
But no, people know exactly what I mean.
They know exactly what you
mean.
And
so Norm is naked.
They're not more elephant. They're more like point. They're
yeah,
just weird
they're
looking.
More, yeah. They're
distorted.
More, yeah.
A little evil looking.
Yeah, kind of goatish.
Yeah, exactly. Perverted.
Yeah.
Very perverted.
Yeah.
But he would streak going backwards.
Yes.
Now, my first thought was, I'm not going to edit this film seeing my dad naked. And you're like, no, Julie, he won't be naked either. It's
yeah.
all perspective.
Right.
And he'll like maybe wear flesh color pants, like, you know,
right.
underwear.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, and then you go, maybe you can get your brother. I go, maybe you can get your brother to do it, Julie. Call your brother and find out.
I'd say, call him now.
And I didn't.
You wouldn't.
I go, I'm not going to call him yet. I go, because he's going to say no unless we have a full-blown plan of how no one will recognize him.
Exactly.
Because the truth is, we already have video of him topless.
Topless.
Running with the
Mission Impossible music.
Yeah. And I'm like, if we just edit that, then we only see his top part.
Yeah.
You know.
But the perspective would be that he's chasing us girls in the golf cart.
Right. But see, I'm not into the chasing part.
Okay.
I think
I was Julie. It was just a.
I know
I can develop this more.
Yes, because I'm thinking it's just like, hey, we're in this community. We're all naked here, driving our golf carts. People are shoveling, you know, doing lawn work naked.
So you're kind of thinking it's more of like a nudist colony.
No, just like a
in Dixon, Illinois.
Exactly, exactly. That's what my idea was. But no, you know, but we're all wearing hats. And maybe. You know, maybe
the men could be wearing masks, the girls sunglasses and hats.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Something like that, and
we'll take suggestions, people.
Yeah, we'll take suggestions.
But we want it to be no longer than 2 minutes.
Yes,
but it has
honestly,
to.
It'll be boring if it's more than that.
Because also too, like we wanted to. There are different parts of the body that look like.
Oh, that was the other idea you had. Yes, that was a brilliant idea you had too, because. We were told to go to this one website. It had like just this mass amount of products that you can resell. And the first product that came up, and this was a normal website. This wasn't a sex website.
No, it was just
normal.
A normal website, but it had massive amounts of products that you could sell.
And the first product was a line of lipsticks. I'm like, oh, these are kind of good. And at second glance, all the lipsticks were in the shape of little penises.
Penises.
Penis. I don't know if that's what they're called.
Penis eyes.
Yeah. Okay.
King
anyway,
like loci. Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, well, that's weird.
Different shades.
Different pretty shades.
Yeah.
nice lipstick, yeah. but they were all in the shape. And I'm like, well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, good for you. I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And how
how long?
Yeah.
It's like when they made ketchup bottles that their lid became the bottom, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, about time to have a squeeze bottle ketchup.
Right.
We had to wait decades of shaking the bottle, you know, for the Heinz. You know, like, oh, and finally they came out with a better bottle.
And now.
They came out with a peni looking lipstick. Oh, brilliant. Then you go, you know, Julie, you know, this morning you go, Julie, if I make my hand.
No, my arm.
If I bend my arm at the elbow.
Right.
Where else would you bend it?
Right.
But at the elbow. And then you put it.
It looks like a butt. Butt cheeks.
Butt cheeks right. or a cleavage.
Right.
And then you put the lipstick there.
Yeah.
And then you got something to work with.
If you got perspective.
Perspective.
You got to make the camera.
You got to get perspective.
Yeah.
It's all about perspective.
Exactly.
And so now I see cleavage everywhere.
Yeah.
And.
Different places to put the lipstick.
And yeah. And then. Cheek, butt cheek cleavage looks very much like boob cheek cleavage.
True.
So it could be either or.
Yeah.
So, and then we're just like, I'm like, oh my gosh, the world is opening up to me.
Yeah.
The world is opening up to me.
So
right
we
now.
Really could do participate in Hump Festival.
Right. And I met somebody who actually went to Hump Festival because he was from Portland. I said, oh, you know Dan Savage? Do you listen to his podcast? I love Dan Savage's podcast.
In fact, I've been to the Hump Festival.
I go, no, you have not. And I go, I always wanted to go. My mom always wanted to go, but I was not going to take my mom. Just a little too Grey Garden-y. Not going to happen.
I know. You went, Mom, I can't take you. It's too Grey Gardens.
Yeah. And the funny thing is we thought about going there this weekend just to be people watching.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to watch all you guys walk into that theater.
Because
I know what you're doing.
Your movie gets played in a theater.
Then your movie gets played
not
in
on
theater.
The internet.
No. Not on the internet. Yeah. But in a theater.
So it's going to be.
And they have, I think they request everybody to leave their phones, like their search. No
right.
phones.
No.
So, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
You can totally feel that.
Anonymous.
And that at this moment, your movie will air and then be done with.
Right. And so we were going to make a comedy, a 2-minute comedy at Hump Festival. And it would be naked, but not total nudity.
No, it wouldn't be any nudity. It would all just be. Perception, right?
Well, like if I have my top down part way,
wouldn't
you consider me naked from the
shoulders from the top of your bosom to your shoulders?
Yes
you'll be naked there.
So nudity.
Yeah, you're right. You will be nude. Go no girlfriend. Stop the presses. Christy Marie from Dixon, Illinois is nude in Hump Fest. Oh, I've got to go see that. I am down with that. Can you imagine? Wait,
Nona's doing a hump movie?
can you imagine? Yeah, Nona are in a Hump Festival movie? Yes, kids, but you'll never see it. And you'll never know which one they are.
Yeah.
I know that golf cart. I've been in that golf cart.
Well, what does that hat say? Life with a girlfriend?
Wait a minute. Always be promoting. Always be marketing. That's the phrase that pays. Always be marketing. No. So that's our idea. But we are open to suggestions. But just realize, like, they also have, you know, you can have cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
You can have full blown out porn.
And they do have companies that were willing to film it for you.
Yes. And I'm just, you know, the whole point of this, I thought, was to have it be more.
Just to do it yourself.
Yeah. But maybe you have to, you know, we believe in prospering.
Yes.
We believe, and to prosper is to get better and better.
Right.
So no matter where you're starting, you're prospering because you're like doing it. Like, oh.
Yeah.
And then the next one, you get a little better.
Yeah.
So people who have done it for, you know.
A couple of years now.
Yeah.
The Hump Film Festival.
They're into hiring a production team to come in and film.
Right. Right.
You know. God bless them. God bless America. God bless them. Awesome.
So
can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Because when I was talking to Hump about Hump Festival to this guy that was.
Oh, yeah.
This woman. And she was telling me that she's like, oh. And she goes, it was so beautiful seeing all these and all the love that was going on. And I'm like, oh, man, really? That's what it was about?
Lots of love?
It was about love. Huh. It wasn't about being funny and quirky. Because I'm not into seeing romantic
films
porn.
Is about love?
Yeah, I'm into seeing, like, Let's just make total fun of this because yes. It's all effing crazy. Yes.
It's the Hump Film Festival.
It's the Hump Film
Please,
Festival.
Please, let's
people.
Laugh.
Let's laugh. And, you know, and so, but then maybe, though, our film could be part of the 48-hour film festival because what
True.
If when we, maybe we don't know, maybe there's a new topic or category or genre this year.
Yeah.
In the 48-hour film
yes.
festival.
Which we are doing in August.
And maybe it might, we might get like, you know, zombie and porn.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't that be an amazing?
Oh. Zombie porn.
To mix those two together. I mean, we mixed zombie and drama.
Comedy.
Comedy. Did we get comedy or drama?
It was a zombie dramedy, I think.
Well,
I guess it was both.
Yeah.
Dramedy.
Dramedy and zombie we got.
Yeah.
We mixed those
yeah.
pretty well.
We did a good job.
Yeah.
You can see it at? Where can we see it
well,
at?
YouTube.
Yeah.
Zits.
A zombie dramedy. Yeah.
Yes. Please, people, if you haven't seen it yet, go.
Zits. Z-I-T-Z, not S. We're sending people everywhere today.
I don't know why. Because it's a fun day. It's a fun day.
How much time do we have left? Because I want to tell a quick story.
Got a little bit of time.
Okay. I don't know how where to begin, but
beginning typically.
So we heard the story from my son that our granddaughter got her finger smashed in a door. She's like 8. And, you know, that comes to everybody, right, at some point.
Yeah.
But she didn't tell her dad about it. But her dad had had gotten his finger smashed somehow.
Yeah.
And so she was curious, and she would say, hey, what happens if you get your finger smashed? When, you know, what happens to your nails? Oh, it'll fall off. Or,
yeah.
Or when will it get better? Oh, in about a year. And not, and she
he's
was not.
He's really expanding. He wants to like
look
make a
like
big
a
deal.
Big deal.
Like, oh, it hurts really bad, yeah. but I'm toughing it out.
Yeah. Because she has smashed her finger and didn't tell anybody.
Right. She's had a Band-Aid over it.
Right.
Can I tell a little bit about this?
Yeah, go
Is
ahead.
Is it 1 second?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure you're going to do this, but.
No, go ahead and tell it. I'll finish it up.
Well, here's how it starts off. They got a dog. Kind of a new dog, but it's an old dog. They're of course
rescue dog.
Rescue dog.
Who rescued who?
And so I guess, yeah. So, like every parent, the kids are supposed to walk the dogs, right? Oh, we'll take responsibility for the dog, Dad. No worries. But Gregory is walking the dog.
He's the official dog walker,
and I think he likes it. I think he loves walking the dog.
Yeah,
and so
he gets out of the house,
right? And he does what he loves to do, which is like run and be out and, you know, whatever. But he always tells the girls, "I'm walking the dog. Don't do anything stupid. Don't burn the house down. Don't hurt yourself.
Don't cook.
Don't cook. Don't do nothing.
Don't play with knives. Don't run with scissors. Just sit down
Just
and
sit
watch
down
cartoons."
And be good. Now, I'm sure the kids are like, yeah, we won't do anything. And so during that time, somehow, this is a time when, you know.
The little grand girl.
Decides to, you know, somehow, this is how life works, slam her finger in the garage door. And so, you know, of course.
And of course, she's afraid to tell Dad because he said,
don't do anything
stupid. Just sit down and watch cartoons.
Yeah.
And don't do anything stupid.
Don't let any strangers in the house.
Like, mash your hand in a door.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you, don't mash your hand in the door. Don't do it. Oh, I feel so bad. So for 2 or 3 days, she didn't say anything.
No.
And Gregory, you know, she's asking questions. And Greg's hamming up like, yeah, it hurts so bad. My thumb. I'm going to lose my nail. It's going to be really gross.
Yeah, because he's like being a real big man on campus.
And then finally, finally, I guess she loses her Band-Aid in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
And Greg
breaks
like,
down.
Tell me what's going on here. And then she breaks down crying. I said it. And then they had to go to the emergency room and to check, make sure her hand wasn't broken. But it wasn't. But she was acting so sheepish
for the couple of days.
And Greg's like, what's going on?
But also, they did take her to the emergency room. And she had x-rays. And they cauterized. They had this machine that cauterizes the nail so that it takes the blood so it doesn't have to get dark.
Oh, my gosh.
So it takes the blood out. So, you know, all that stuff. And I here's why I tell the story that you did so beautifully, by the way.
I didn't mean to take your
glory. No. I'm glad you did. Because when I was that age, my dad was head of the CYO, which was the Catholic Youth Organization.
Okay.
And one
CYO.
Year... He was to take all the kids sledding to this hill. Mm-hmm. And they were like the older kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like wanting to go so bad. I must have just been a pain. I cried. I did everything. I really, really wanted to go. Yeah. I was relentless. Did you ever think I could be like that?
Yeah.
Is that even in my personality?
You're a red color. Yes.
Anyway, so finally my dad broke down and said, okay, you can come, but you cannot say a word. These are kids that are going to be older than you. I do not want to see or hear anything from you. Not one peep. Okay, those are the rules. I'm like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah.
So the car that my dad is jam-packed with kids, because at that, you could just throw as many people as you, it's like
right.
Africa, you could just, you know, throw 100 people right. on a train.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's probably about...
There's no laws for seatbelts.
No. Yeah. So they're all mashed into the back, and I got in, there's like probably 4 people in the front, and I'm sitting on a person's lap.
Right.
And... And so they close the door and they slam my hand into the door, in the front part of the door. And I do have some gloves on, but it is painful. Mm-hmm. And I know that I do not want to say a word. I cannot say a word. I promise that I
would. The only reason why you're going is because you have to be quiet.
Yeah. And so I am, my arm is extended and I do have my hand in the door. I am pretty much in pain and not crying. And finally, I think either my dad looks over or somebody notices that my arm is in the door.
Right.
That my hand is in the door.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, God, what are you doing? I got to pull over now, you know. Yeah. And he pulls over real dramatically. And, you know, they open the door. And he says, I don't want to hear anything about this. You know, and I'm like, okay. You know, so I got my hand. And I couldn't even really go sledding. I was, like, kind of traumatized, you know. So I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word for a long time, forever. Until now.
Till now.
Till now, I'm kind of cry about it.
I'm having a memory, too, about something like that happened with me. I was, like, 13 years old.
Yeah.
And I was babysitting a little baby. Like, she couldn't crawl yet.
Yeah.
And I was pretty responsible.
Yeah.
As a kid. And the mom had me in the basement watching TV. It was a finished basement, but a basement nonetheless, because she was having, like, a Mary Kay meeting upstairs.
Right, right.
And she said, whatever you do, don't go upstairs. You know, just stay down here.
Yeah.
I'm like, no problem, no problem.
Yeah.
But she didn't give me a bottle or anything to feed the kid. Like, we just forgot that.
Uh-huh.
And the baby starts getting really hungry, and she just starts crying, and she doesn't shut up. And I'm just walking around, like, please be quiet, please be quiet. I'm, like, trying to do all my dance and songs. I'm just, like, we're walking. I'm like, and finally the mom comes down. She goes, what's going on? She goes, I'm so sorry. She's just hungry, and I don't have anything to feed her. And she's like, oh. She goes, come on upstairs. No problem. I go, but you said don't come upstairs. And I'm just like, we don't. This is the problem. This is the beauty of life.
Yeah.
We give these parameters, these edicts.
Right.
Don't say a word, you little girl.
Yeah.
If you want to come sledding.
Yeah.
Okay, but what if I accidentally, you know, close the door in my hand, Dad?
Yeah, I didn't even close it. It was one of those damn teenagers that closed
it. What if the teenagers close it? What do I do then, Dad, please? Yeah. Like, I didn't think of that scenario. It's like, okay, kids, in your mind, don't bother me unless you need to bother me. But you better need to bother me.
Right.
And that might be, but if you're just debating, go ahead and bother me. Yeah. You know, I mean, how do we set these things up?
You know? I just love the fact that parenting has changed. That in my day, you know, you mashed your hand into her and you did shut up, you know?
Yes.
Like my parents were like, you know, how dare you have a cavity?
Yeah.
And how dare you? If I do take you to the dentist, I am not paying for Novocaine.
Right.
You will have to endure this pain. Because you had dared get a cavity.
It's sort of like, yeah. And then now, I mean, nowadays, like, you know, once the kid comes clean, because every kid does this, then the parents like, well, now we got to take care
of it. Emergency room. Got to go to the emergency room.
Boy, things have changed in 50 years.
You jammed your nail in the door.
60 years. Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Damn, things have changed. Exactly. And not just in Dixon, Illinois. Like,
no, exactly. So, girlfriend, how was the show?
Dare I say, it was great.
It was great.